Welcome to another episode of the Poolside Gossip Podcast. And here we are today with the lovely Louise Cameron Edlund, with her lovely Scottish dulcet tones. Louise, how are you today?
I am amazing, even more so for being on the Poolside Gossip Podcast.
Thank you. So I'm very excited to interview you today because I seem to have ended up doing a little series about self-published authors, which was completely unexpected. I've known you for a little while and you've helped me a lot with certain things, which we'll get to in a minute. And then one day I cheekily saw that you had a book on the side of your video from your Instagram video that you were doing or something like that. And I was like, wow, okay. So there's a little story there that I'd like to dig out a little bit and expose to everyone who's listening.
Yeah, I'd like to keep it mysterious, you know, and just give these little clues like you've seen in the video. Oh, yeah, there's another part of Louise I didn't know.
A woman of many facets.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Past, present, and future and all that.
Exactly, and I really believe everyone is, and that's what I'm so fascinated about with life is you meet people and you get to know sides of them. And just when you think you've got to know everything about someone, there is a beautiful surprise and a new layer and a new facet to them that you get to see them in a deeper way.
Nice. So I guess that ties in as well with part of the body work that you do, is you start to unravel people's knots, literally, or their complications or their tight spots. And then suddenly as you're doing that, you get to touch part of their emotional storage or blockage or something like that, so then they'll expose themselves a little more to you, and then as that trust and confidence expands over an amount of time, then you start to unravel even further. And
for sure, and they either reveal that to me, like we build that trust deeper, but people also, what I'm most passionate about is they get to connect to deeper layers of themselves. And it actually led me on my journey. You know, it's funny thinking where I am now and where I began as a sports physiotherapist. And I learned all about the body and the anatomy and physiology. And I even went to London to do a postgraduate in orthopedic medicine diploma. I was so fascinated by the physical body. And it's still really rooted in everything that I do. But as I was going on my journey, I realized that there is so much more to what we manifest, whether it's pain or whether it's a blockage in our life or a relationship or our business, that our body is the vehicle for our dreams to be lived through. And when we get to know ourselves better and we realize that our emotions and our thoughts and the way that we show up in the world and our body is literally one, and it's woven together, and it feels a real blessing in my work to be able to connect people to themselves so they can unravel the truth and connect to something deeper about themselves, to discover another facet to who they really are. And that brings me so much joy.
Nice. Nice. I love that. I wanted to try and remember something you just said there about the body.
The body connection, the body being the vehicle.
Yeah, the body being the vehicle for making our dreams come true.
For sure.
I love that. I love that concept.
Yeah.
There's that phrase, isn't there? If you can dream it, you can do it, or build it and they will come.
Yeah.
It's all.
For sure. What I love about that, what you said, like, if you can dream it, you can do it.
Yeah.
Now, what I learned about both myself and clients that I work with, particularly my coaching clients who are pursuing their visions and dreams, what I learned from myself and that is, yeah, we can all dream it. Like, who doesn't have a dream? But who does it? And the doing part, we need our physical body. We need the embodiment of our visions through aligned action. And this is where I really connected the two. Let's make our dreams come into our body and our body to be of service through our actions to make it happen. So yeah, you can dream it, then you can do it.
Interesting. So you touched on something there, which makes me think of the power of manifestation as well. So slightly different, but when I saw my place in on the west coast of the island, I knew I really wanted it. It was above my budget and all the rest of it, but I've kept imagining how it would feel to sign the papers, how it would feel to be in the garden, and it just became this all-encompassing knowing and this feeling, just knowing it was going to happen, it was going to be mine.
I love that story.
Because that was my dream at that particular moment in time. I wanted a safe haven, a place to unwind, unravel. And that was that's how I felt going into that garden that day.
I love that you connected and you believed it on a really embodied level. It wasn't just, I believe this house can be mine. In the thought patterns, your physiology started to really believe that. And what I love about when we bring our body and our being into such certainty that it's already happened, it does happen. And there are two ways that this can happen. It can either happen through literally the universe brings us these moments where it's like a complete miracle. It's like, wow, it literally just came to me. And also what can happen is this certainty that you create within yourself, because you're certain that this is happening, you show up differently in your actions and your embodiment, and you make it happen as well.
Interesting. So what do you mean by that exactly? You turn up differently in your...
Well, basically, if your conscious mind wants something and believes something, like, I know it's possible I can have this house or whatever we might add in that place. I know it. I believe it. It can be a reality for me. But then somewhere in your subconscious mind, now we might not always be aware of these sneaky patterns, but if there is anything in your energetic reaction to your thoughts where it's like, oh yeah, but maybe not me, maybe that's for someone else, or how will that happen, then what we do is, it's almost like we have one foot on the accelerator, which is our conscious mind. I want this, I believe this. And if we're not fully in, then we have one foot on the brake, which can slow down or block that process. But if you really embody that, like, no, I just know in all of my body and all of my thoughts, this is mine and it's happening, and you don't have the energy leaking out of you in the thoughts that don't quite believe it, then what happens is you're going to act with certainty with your actions. You're maybe going to do things that previously might have felt uncomfortable to you to make that happen. You're like, this is happening, and so I'm going to do whatever it takes to make that a reality. I'm maybe going to make a bolder move in my business, or I'm going to reach out to somebody to make that happen in my actions as well as, and that's what I mean, showing up differently. But if we don't fully believe it, we still leave room for the sneaky little thoughts to sabotage us, or, oh, maybe you don't need to go into the office today. You know, maybe we just want to scroll on social media today, whatever that might be. So we're not showing up in alignment to the vision if we're not fully in. And that's what I mean by we'll show up differently when we believe it with certainty through our action. So it can be this beautiful balance between, and it does happen, this complete receptivity of, I know this is happening, and it literally just arrives, that more feminine approach where you just magnetize that in. And also we can work with that by, I am going to know with certainty this can happen, and what I'm actually going to do is change my actions to now be in alignment to that becoming a reality. And that means getting rid of the self-sabotage, that means getting rid of the procrastination, that gets rid of the comfortable actions that got us our current results.
Interesting. The self-doubt, I was thinking the self-doubt, and of course the worthy, I'm not worthy,
exactly.
And all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's coming back to that idea of wanting something, and then being aware of all of the negative thoughts around it, or potential negative thoughts around it.
Yeah.
And then dealing with those in
for
the appropriate
sure.
manner, maybe getting some help or something like that. I like that. But that also makes me feel like you can't be going after too many things at the same time, because otherwise you're scattering your energy, right? Or...
I never like to say things is completely like black and white. That's why my passion is to connect people fully into their embodiment of their knowing and their wisdom. Because there might be a time where it's divinely orchestrated for you to do this and that and this and that for a reason. But there might be times, now this is why we have to go into these sneaky belief systems of subconscious, that might be a sabotage pattern that makes you too busy or too tired or too exhausted to take the actions that will lead to your dream.
Interesting. That's really interesting. I can think of an event that's going on in my life right now where that's really, really appropriate, but this is not the cause and this is not the reason why we've come together today. But yeah, that really strikes a chord. Interesting.
For sure. And I laugh in total resonance to these moments in my life. And this is why I'm so passionate about where I am, because I am the queen. Let me change that. Not I am. I was. Yeah. I was the queen of holding myself back for having these big dreams and big visions for what's possible for both myself, but for a higher vision for life. Yeah. And I sabotaged myself at any corner because I didn't have the self-worth to pursue it. I had the imposter syndrome of like, oh my God, who am I to say that I can have these dreams or visions and make it happen? And I had the doubt and I had the sabotage and the procrastination, and I held myself back so long with these limiting patterns. And I also learned how to break free from that. And trust me, guys, if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Okay. So did you meet somebody or something like that that started you off on your path of breaking down the limiting beliefs? Or did you just, you know, randomly in that kind of way that's never random, pick up a book or someone, you know, left your house and left a book or something like that? What was the...
Yeah, wow.
Or did you just find yourself against the wall, not liking necessarily the choices that you were making?
It's an amazing question, and I feel that we all have such depths to these stories. And when I look back on my path, you know, for 13 years I have been in the business of health and wellness, of course beginning with the physiotherapy. And I really even go back before that and I think about, well, I was a teenager in high school who had critical thinking and who questioned things and who many teachers did not gel with. You know, I was the rebel one, or I was the defiant one. You know, I was the one that literally my guidance teacher told me that I wasn't going to make it to university. I'm not cut out for that. You know, I had the forces it be against me. But now I think, well, they were my gurus, because they had that suppression energy of the outside force saying, you can't do this. And you know, it's interesting with the book, I also have dyslexia. You know, you're not good at writing, you're not good at, and you start to believe all this. And there was part of me, this energy inside me, that always questioned, like, well, who are you to tell me that? So, you know, I questioned it a lot. And I feel that those years were training for me in my life, for me to experience the outside, the external, telling me the restrictions. And of course, we internalize that. So I began to internalize that. But with this part of me, even if it was small, saying, no, don't believe that. You don't have to be limited to this. And it got smaller and smaller, that hopeful voice within me as I went through the years. And I wasn't fulfilled in my life because I wasn't really living my path. I'd started to mold myself in some way, consciously or unconsciously, to please others or to please society or to please how other people see me in the world. And so I was a party girl. I drank a lot of alcohol. I numbed myself. I distracted myself so much from myself. Filled my calendar full, so I was so overwhelmed and so busy that I couldn't focus or cope. And for me, the first catalyst moment was actually when I had a car accident. And it halted me to stop and slow down. I didn't have a choice. So all of my fast-paced things, all of my distractions literally went for me in an instance. And it was like falling into the black abyss where I had to feel everything uncomfortable. I had to sit with some truths about myself that weren't easy to swallow and digest. And over time, I actually lost the use of my right leg properly. I had my muscles start to waste and I couldn't even like function and walk properly. I had to like hike my hip up, and people didn't know what the answers could be for me. I had MRI scans, I went to specialists, and you know, I know people cared, but I had a feeling that nobody really cared and nobody could really give me the answer. But I honor that as part of my journey, because I'm going to be so honest, I looked for anybody outside of myself to give me the answers. And at that moment, no one could give me answers. And in a moment of desperation, I went to a yoga class.
Oh, wow.
And then, of course, the cliche.
Desperation or liberation.
Yeah. The yoga class changed my life, and it really did. You know, I had eating disorders. I had anxiety. I had stress. I didn't know how to love myself. And if you don't love yourself, how are you going to know you're worthy of your dreams? And that was the beginning process for me. I had an amazing yoga teacher who really helped connect me into myself. You know, for 5 minutes in Shavasana, I felt a deep peace. Mm-hmm. And then it left, you know, until the next class. And I was like, okay, so this is a tool for me. And that eventually led me to going to do my yoga teacher training, because I loved it so much. And when I was on my yoga teacher training, I realized, hey, Louise, you do not love your life. You're unhappy. You're stressed. You've ticked off all the boxes in society. You know, you've got the beautiful city center apartment. You've got the great business as a sports physiotherapist, you know, working with these amazing teams. That's great. Amazing. You've ticked that all off and you're so unfulfilled. There is more to life than this. And you have to choose whether you go back to what you know doesn't serve you, or you've got to tell yourself and prove to yourself that you can create the life you love. And in that moment, I literally canceled my apartment contract. I canceled all my business contracts. And I was in Ibiza at the time, actually. I got a return flight back home to Glasgow, moved all my stuff to my mom's, and got a flight back and came to Ibiza with nothing but a suitcase and a dream. I actually lived in San Antonio campsite until I found a place.
Oh, really?
Amazing. Yeah.
That must have been an experience and a half.
For sure.
Yeah, I've heard quite a lot goes on in the San Antonio campsite.
But, yeah, I mean, it was like 2 nights.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Not 2 weeks. Okay,
yeah, and I wasn't even camping. They actually had like a house somewhere in the premises. Okay. So it was a little bit more glam than it sounds.
Okay.
But funny, you know, that's how it starts.
So Ibiza was one of the catalysts then?
Ibiza was the catalyst.
Okay, so you went to the yoga class in Ibiza?
I went to the teacher training in Ibiza, for sure. And okay, that's when I realized. And it was actually in Kalayonga Beach, if anyone knows that. I sat on a rock with the sunset, and my knowing, because I took space to silence myself and the thoughts, and in the silence and in the stillness, that little small voice, remember that little hopeful one that got smothered over time, that went straight in and told me, you're not happy with your life and you know what you need to do. Are you going to do it? And I started that catalyst. And then, you know, I ended up going to India, and I used to live there for the winters. And I came across books like Ram Dass and Jack Kornfield. Mm. And these were catalyst people in my life that confirmed my inner knowing. That's what I feel about these books that you read. Everything that I read touched a part of me that was like, what I feel is what they're guiding and what they're saying. And they were like the masters with the light for me to follow the external voice and wisdom they had that reflected and was in alignment with what I feel. That they gave me that permission to listen.
A little bit of validation as
for
well.
Sure.
That you were actually doing, you know, other people thought the same way.
Exactly. Yeah. And then I, of course, from that, I was technically a scientist. You know, I had a Bachelor of Science. I was knowing everything about physiology, and I started to unlock and awaken more spiritual experiences, things that couldn't be explained by anything I'd ever come across. And I started to connect things and unlock my abilities. And of course, part of you is like, am I crazy? Like, am I totally making this up in my mind? And then you would see people having their results by what I would give, and like, oh, this is real. And then you would look to, oh, there's actually science outside of what's maybe conventional science that will explain that, you know, metaphysics and different things. And it's like, wow, this is real. And I started to really, again, have that permission within me, looking at, you know, science saying it's like, oh, okay, it's real, I can follow it. So I almost needed that one foot in, like, you know, normal, regular science. And then that allowed me the safety to go another foot into the more spiritual realms and energetic realms, and where I received a lot of information of connecting emotions and connecting spirit to the physical body. And of course I met my masters who were living that and breathing that and supporting me in that awakening and in that process. And of course plant medicines is a huge part of my journey. Like, I cannot say I am where I am today without plant medicines being part of that, to not only read things and, you know, have a knowing of things like, you know, patterns and our mind affects our reality, to go into ceremonies where you experienced it and you've seen new perspectives and new parts of you and depths of patterns and where they came from and where you're holding yourself back. I don't believe that passed for everyone. I'm definitely not advocating that. That was part of my journey and that helped me see things. And the work for that, the integration, happened outside the ceremonies. And what I noticed that was from what I could see within myself and these new connections and pathways for me in a ceremony, I could help see that in coaching clients that I worked with, and I had a new depth of perspective to see things in a way to support and hold space for them to make these connections without having to go through these experiences.
So you have a slightly, I'm feeling expansion when you're talking about that. So you almost
exactly.
Take an extra layer further out,
yeah,
and breathe and just hold that from a slightly,
for sure,
a further distance.
Yeah, and I believe that the depth we go to in ourself, because I went to such depths within me and my journey, be it through my teachers in India and my spiritual awakening processes and my plant medicine processes, I went to the depths of myself, which helped me hold that for others. Mm. And the more I could step into that ego view for myself, the more I could do that with others, and where you have such compassion for people, because you're, when you look at somebody acting in a certain way that, you know, it might not feel nice to be in their presence, you go, ah, oh, this is a pattern, oh, this is just a belief that they have about themselves or the world, or oh, they're in pain, or ah, this sabotaging that they're doing. They just don't believe that it's possible. There's part of them from their story, the old story is still there, and you see that potential. And so it really helps me hold the highest vision for everybody, knowing, hey, you're not your patterns, you're not your beliefs, you're not your self-sabotage, you're not any of that, and you've got this potential, and there's part of you that knows it, just like I knew when I had that moment in Kali Yuga, where it's like, no, don't look for outside people, inside you, you know what you need to do, you need to make this move over here, and you need to create your visions and dreams. And through my work, I know I do different modalities, but for me, the pathway is the same. It's connecting people in body, mind, emotion, and soul to remember who they are and that inner guidance that they have within them, to give them the answers and the steps that they're there. They just need that permission to follow that. And I believe that really comes from taking that ego perspective of the soaring wings, being really out to see it and hold it all and know, ah, if you're not fully happy with your life, if you have a feeling within you, in your body or in your being, and an emotion that feels heavy or it feels dense, or you're, you know, questioning why life is like this, to know that that's simply a pattern or an energy, and you have the power to shift that into a higher vision. And that's actually what you're here to do. You're here to walk your path and not question yourself, and to live the life that only you can live as an individual. And that's what I believe. Like, I love how you asked the question about my journey, like, what were the books or what were these catalyst moments in my life? Because we all have them. And, you know, something I say is, you know, we all done the same course in the world and got trained in the same thing. There's still no competition, because you, Andrea, you've walked a different path. Mm. You have different catalyst moments in your life where you learned something different from me, mm. or you learned the same thing in a very different way. And so you hold a unique vibration and you have unique gifts and you have a unique perspective to bring to things. And so when we all recognize the depth of our journeys and stories, and if you guys right now think about those catalyst moments in your life, or the moment you had a connection to a deep knowing within you, or moment you trusted that, hey, we've got the moments where we didn't trust that and we learned something, then you realize that for some crazy, mysterious, beautiful reason, you were born into this world to experience what you experienced for a higher purpose. And we might be different places within that journey. Hey, maybe we're still in the depths of it. Maybe we're going through a cycle where you're like, whew, I'm fully in my process, in that uncomfortable place of trying to discover that within me. Or you might be like, yeah, I'm on that. I've made these breakthroughs. I'm on my way. And you might be moments where I'm like, yeah, I'm there. But remember, guys, there's not a beginning, there's not an end, there's not a head, there's not a behind, because it goes in cycles. And there's moments where I've been like, woo, I've got it.
Flying.
This is it. Yeah. And then you get initiated into the next cycle of, you know, not knowing. Yeah. And you're like, oh, wait, no, there's a new depth I need to learn, you know? So it's just having that beginner's mindset and celebrating every part of the stage, knowing, well, where I am right now in this moment, be it the heavy, dense, sticky stuff I'm working through, having the breakthroughs, building the momentum, or feeling like you're flying high. It's all perfect. And it's actually exactly where you're meant to be if we're conscious and we're listening and we're fully embodied and present in our lives and we find the gold.
Mm, nice. I like that. Finding the gold. Yeah, I think sometimes it's hard, just to be devil's advocate, sometimes it's hard to just accept where you are when you're going through it. You're just like, ugh, just want to be out the other side.
For sure.
But actually the process is that's where the growth is. That's where the learning is. I've recently got into poetry and I've come to a silly conclusion that actually it's only when I'm in pain that I'm my most creative, because that's where you're looking for the solution to get out or to vocalize, and vocalizing through writing poetry is one method for me. But it's definitely an interesting ride. But when you're on the roller coaster and you're like, woohoo, you're set.
Yeah.
And those flying moments or the leap moments or whatever you want to call it, those are interesting.
And I love playing devil's advocate because it speaks to a truth, right? You know, it's not maybe always realistic that we say, yeah, trust yourself, where you are is perfect, that you're going to go, yeah, as you're swimming in the swamps, like, what?
Yeah.
That there is that part of us, and we can have a choice of how we choose to look at it. And there are moments where we need to, you know, reach out and ask for help. And that's part of our journey. Mm-hmm. Or there are parts of us where, like you said, that's sometimes been that fuel when you go shit deep into stuff and you look around and you're at the bottom of the pit and you look around and you think, I actually don't want this anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's going to motivate
sick
you to change.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so sick and tired
sick
of being so sick and tired of myself.
Yeah.
And that's going to fuel you into action. And that is why sometimes the universe creates these situations, because you weren't taking the action or you weren't ready for the action. And so it needs to wait until it gets so uncomfortable that then you take that. Now I want to also invite that we can reprogram ourselves. Now, I don't know if you know this, but 80% of people are motivated by the pain to change.
Right.
And 20% are motivated by the pleasure of what they want that fuels their change.
Oh, wow, interesting.
We have a choice. We can practice and we can shift so that we don't always have to learn the painful ways. Hey, that might just be where we're at and how we learn. I'm going to put my hand up and say, I chose to learn the hard way for most of my life, actually up until recently, when I had that moment of, oh yeah, I programmed myself, I almost like hypnotized myself in conversations, be like, oh yeah, I always learn the hard way. Well, guess what?
Well, yeah, you keep repeating the same story, you're going to get the same result. Yeah, absolutely.
You got it.
Yeah, totally. I totally adhere to that. Yeah, and then that's, you know, we've touched on it earlier when we were talking before this, but, you know, the power of the morning ritual and getting some part of a routine. So daily, you're showing up for yourself daily, you're not letting yourself down, therefore you can trust yourself, therefore you can kind of go for your goals and go for your dreams, because you actually believe in the power of being able to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. And like you said at the beginning, like, you, if you can dream it, you can do it. And one part of it is holding that vision for yourself, and that's dreaming it. Like, for example, I gave the moment where I made the decision to quit my whole life and move to Ibiza. That was the dream. That insight came to me. Hey, you can quit your life and create a new one. Mm. But I had to take a really uncomfortable action to make it happen. I had to do it, like you're saying. And the doing part of it is the routines. And it's the habits that we create, and it's the actions that we ground in the vision. So it's almost like bringing the higher, like up in the ethers, up in the cloud. And how you bring that into the body is in your actions and in your routines. And the decisions that you choose to make in your life.
So it's almost like you need to have a... Because sometimes you can also forget why you've decided to make a decision, if that makes any sense at all. And it's almost like you need to have it stuck by your fridge or something, so that every single day you can remind yourself of what it is that you're aiming for. Even for if that obviously then allows a lot of flow around it as well. It doesn't have to, I'm not saying in a rigid way.
Yeah, for sure.
But sometimes if you have a dream that can take a while to put into place, you almost need to remind yourself of it.
Definitely. Yeah. And I mean, it seems like for some people's minds, and I know I would have been like that, like, oh, what's a sticker on a fridge or a screensaver on my laptop or, you know, a written statement of my vision? What's that like? How is that going to help? And how it helps is that we are constantly influenced by what we see with our subconscious mind. So we're constantly programming our subconscious mind, and we're 95% of the time operating from our subconscious mind. So it's like a program we've downloaded and operating from. Now, there's no judgments, but if you just take a look around your life right now and just take a breath and own that, like, what I have in my life, these results are down to my current beliefs and my subconscious mind and how I'm running the show. Now, we can say, this is either working for me or it's not working for me. So if things aren't working for you, just even take a look around your house. Is there a painting up in your wall that's like, that actually doesn't make me feel so good, or that's like not something that I want to repeat? If there is a sentence or a book that's got a cover that's not really resonating with you, with something you might subconsciously be reading and picking up, you know, magazines that might be sending these subliminal messages to you that aren't really for your highest, just have a look around and think, what on the outside is cluttering my subconscious mind and programming it to something I don't actually want? And then go inwardly, what am I constantly saying? Like, remember I gave that example, I always learn the hard way. Like, do you want that? Do you want to choose it? There's not a right or wrong. Like, there literally isn't a right or wrong. But you get the choice to do that and just look within you and recreate that. And so once we've decluttered and we've cleared things out, when you put something new, and this might be an image that represents what your higher vision is, for example, if you wanted to be successful in business and go to, I don't know, the Bahamas or something, having like an image of the Bahamas, that's programming your subconscious mind to know that's a possibility to happen. If you write your vision, like you said, on a post-it note on your fridge, your subconscious mind is now going to see that. And so you're now going to, every day, exactly. And it's going to start to rewire to now be in favor of that vision. You know, the subconscious mind isn't bad. It's not trying to hold us back. What it's doing is it's saving us time and energy, because you've repeated something enough times that it goes, ah, this is a pattern. This is the default. This is how they love to do things. So let's just record this so they don't even have to think about it, and they can access this pattern and program and reaction and response anytime they want. And so the post-it notes and the reprogramming is going to start to rewire subconscious mind to then start to automatically think and feel and respond in a way that's in alignment to what you actually want.
So is this part of your, I mean, the coaching that you do with your clients, is that pretty much a summary of the way that you work, is trying to go, trying to get people to have a clear vision of where they want to go and any limiting beliefs and things that are holding them back, conscious or subconscious, and then helping them to reorientate their choices in a better manner. Would you say that's
for sure 100% part of that? It's a very, because of my journey being deep in the sense of, for me, the body's really important, and I learned that firsthand, and I also learned about emotions, and I learned about our thought processes, and I also went in plant medicines and had spiritual experiences and meditation. So for me, if you want to have your vision actually here, it's really important to work through all of the layers.
Yeah, well, it's all combined,
and embody
it?
And combine it. So a big part of that, like you said, is 100% on point. I'm here to hold that space to help someone navigate through and see new perspectives so they can understand, oh, what I'm really upset or sad or frustrated about in my life is literally a pattern. And it's creating this feedback loop. And I either like it and I want it or I don't. And I have the power to change that and to come out of that from my understanding. So I empower people to see their thought patterns, their emotional patterns, their reaction patterns, the way they think, and help them see, is this in alignment to my vision or not? And if people might say, well, what's a vision got to do with the coaching or my work? And a vision is like the North Star.
Mm-hmm.
It helps you know where you're going. And a way to think about that is, you know, if you send somebody a Google Map pin drop, you're going here. Okay, great. Say there's a diversion in the road, or say something happens. You know where you're going. So it means whatever happens on your path, you can find a way there.
Mm.
And if you don't have that Google Map pin drop and you're just like driving around, okay, you maybe, you know, you might get there.
Randomly end up there. But
yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not maybe necessarily in your control. And let's be honest, nothing ever is in our control. It's not like if you have this vision, you're actually going to get there, because we all know there's been things we really wanted and the universe had another plan and diverted us. And we're like, oh my God, thank God I did not mm-hmm. get what I wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes you make appointments and you don't know why you've made them. And then you turn up there and you get a nugget
exactly.
of information that just sends you completely
sure.
on another way.
For sure.
Yeah, I love that.
And
that's the unexpected, isn't it?
And so what the vision is, it's not like a goal you have to meet. But when you have a vision, for example, if you say, I want a better relationship, or I want more money in my business, and I'm creating that as a vision, then you're actually going to start changing your habits and changing the way that you are and doing more uncomfortable actions that are going to support you getting there. So what it does is it literally upgrades who you are, so you're ready for the higher vision, whatever that might be, and you've almost like taken a step towards that, you know, met the universe halfway.
Interesting. Gosh, slightly overwhelmed by that the wealth of information that you shared with us there.
Yeah, it's funny how this goes. From
yeah,
conversations.
Yeah,
we're
no,
like, oh, let's. I wonder what we'll chat
see,
about
let's
today.
See where we floated. Well, we've definitely. I had a vision, and we've definitely found a little detour around it. So that's great. So, what about your book then? So, you've written this book called Yes, I Can. 22 Success Secrets from Inspiring People. So tell me a little bit about that then. So on the back of all the experiences that you had, how did you come about to write a book? Is it a part of your experiences, or how did you come about writing a book, basically?
Well, I've said for a long time, and I get a sense this is just the first. This is just the way I look at it is the childhood rebel who got told, you've got dyslexia, you know, you're not good at writing or expressing yourself, and had all the red pen marks in my paper because, you know, I spelled things wrong all the time. And that was a block for me, like, no you can't. And this, like, yes I can. That, like, me standing up for what I believe in, which is you have choice.
Yeah,
you can create this. It doesn't matter who's told you what about yourself. It doesn't matter as a kid, someone's like, oh, you're not good at painting, you're not good at singing, you're not good at this, or you'll never make it like that. You can't make money from what you love. And these are all things I've had to work through in my career, doing what I love. Like, I blocked myself in money because there was a belief, oh, you can't make money from what you love, you can't make money from your hobbies and stuff. So we get blocked
totally
by that.
Understand that one. For totally sure. Understand that, yeah.
And so this was my invitation to myself and to the world to say, yes, you can. And so for me, that was me creating this book, saying, I absolutely can write a book. And I actually do have something to offer. And so do many other people. And why it's got 22 success secrets from other people around the world is I am where I am today because I look to other rebels breaking the rules and giving me permission to say, you can do it. You know, anything that's a failure, don't view that as a failure. This is a lesson for you, and just keep getting back up. Because if there's any entrepreneurs out there over 13 years, you're going to have your moments where you're like, you know, I think I should just get a job. Or, you know, like, what am I doing? This is hard work.
Yeah,
this is breaking me down. Yeah. What on earth am I doing with myself? I should just quit. Yeah. Maybe they're right. I can't make it. It's not for me.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't do it.
It's just too hard.
It's just too hard.
Constant learning. Constant adaptation.
And
wearing many hats as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally
get
that.
For sure. Yeah. And then you see people who share their stories of the moments where they had that too. And you hear of, like, I know the Starbucks founder got turned down something like 250 times from investors before someone said yes.
Uh-huh.
And Jack Canfield, who writes Chicken Soup for the Soul, said like he got turned down like 151 times or something like that before somebody published his book. And you see, don't give up.
Keep going.
Yeah. Like, yes, you can. Will it be easy? Perhaps. It might be. I really hope and, you know, send blessings that it is, but maybe not. Maybe it's hard, but guess what? Maybe that's not a reason for you to stop or give up on this. Like, why not just say, yes, I can? And why not just go for it? And why not actually, in those moments where you've given up on your hopes and your dreams, we all have them, to look to someone you admire, to somebody who's walked that path before you, and to hear the stories of them sharing their humanness, of them sharing their moments of failure. And you see successful people in a whole new light. And, you know, before we might look to people and think, oh, well, easy for them. They've got all the it's super easy for them. Oh, lucky them. They got their break. That's such good luck. And then you read their stories and you're like, oh, God, it wasn't luck. They put a lot of effort into that. They put a lot of determination into that. For sure. And so for me, this was my message to myself, yes, I can. And also to anyone else out there who might question it at times, who might have that little quiet vision somewhere inside of them, or maybe they're living it, but they're just not living the full potential of their vision, to step it up another layer and to say, yes, I can, and to make it happen.
Love that. I love that. I look forward to reading it. And when you made up your mind you wanted to write the book, and how did you start that process? How long did it take? And did you set aside a certain number of hours a day? Are you one of these people that got up at 4 and wrote between like 4 and 7 in the morning? Or, you know, it's a long road of discovery. I really admire everyone who's...
Yeah. It can be. Like I say, it can be and it can't be. And this for me was one of these moments where it was more the feminine and the receptive way. And I kept on saying to people, I'm going to write a book. And then say, what's your book going to be on? And I'd laugh and say, I've got no idea, but I'm going to write a book. And they'd be like, you know, smile and get used to my quirky ways. Okay, sure. Whatever. You don't know what the book's going to be, but you're going to write a book. Okay, if you believe it. Happy for you. So it's one of these things I kept on saying it. Now, at this particular point in my life, I was choosing the uncomfortable actions. Not directly linked with this, but I realized that I'm doing a disservice to my clients and those I can help because I'm keeping myself small.
Mm.
And for me to help my clients, because everything's a mirror reflection, so if I'm really going to be of service, I need to do some deep work and I need to start stepping up my game and start taking uncomfortable action. So I was in a moment where it was in the action phase, not linked to this, but I always held that as a higher vision, that North Star guiding me. And I was in a business group. And there was a woman who was inspired because I shared one of my stories. And she's like, wow, I love your story. And I love the way that you've expressed that. And she was wanting to co-create writing a book. And it literally just landed in my email box one day, this opportunity to create the book. And it was like, oh, this literally just fell into my lap. So that was one of those moments, and we had a really tight deadline, and I only had like 1 month.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I'm really good at that stuff. I always was in like high school, you know, or university for, you know, doing my dissertation. I could just sit down and just go.
Yeah.
And I'm really good as well at my best way for preparing sometimes is less preparation, and when I just breathe and connect into my guidance, you know, just ask what wants to be shared, I can just sit and go and get it all down and out. What I learned as a gift from having dyslexia, from always having mistakes and errors on my page in the red, I chose to just be like, oh, I just don't even care about that anymore. Was like,
get it out.
Yeah, just get it out. So I feel very blessed from my experience with dyslexia, because it's really made me the opposite of a perfectionist when it comes to, you know, writing and mistakes, whereas other people might be like, oh, mistakes, or what should it be? It helped me relax and just say, well, this is what it is.
Mm. Well, no, it's going to be copyrighted afterwards anyway. you've got a helping team of support around you, which is key, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. A team of support is so good to have, and the more we work together with people, then the easier everything is. This will go for writing a book or whatever your vision is. And sometimes it goes against what we might have been told, like the old way, you know.
Well, it's interesting because you've actually mentioned support, you know, reaching out to people at different times in your life quite a few times since we've been talking. Yep. So it's clearly something that's actually quite key to you. But sometimes it's tricky to reach out and ask for help because we take it as being a little bit of a weakness or something like that, which is actually completely the opposite.
Yeah, for sure. I mention it a lot, and it's been really profound for me because I really struggled to ask for help. To be honest, I was so disconnected from my own needs, I didn't even know what I needed in order to ask for the help. And I've actually had moments where I've called people, for instance, I had someone help me, like a business manager, and I phoned and said, you know, I'm just going to be really honest with you, I know I need help, I'm overwhelmed, and I'm, you know, stressed, but I don't know what I need. I just know I need help. And that's sometimes how I practice asking for help, is just saying, I'm so disconnected from what I need. I know I need help, can you help?
Yeah, and generally then, just by talking it through, it actually quite quickly comes up where you actually need the help.
And when you go to experts, like for me, like, I've received coaching from my coaches that have been so profound, so I have that experience. When you go to somebody with experience, and, you know, I wasn't just phoning up, you know, someone's Aunt Betty and be like, hey, Aunt Betty, I'm overwhelmed and stressed in my business, like, what can I do? I reached out to masters who'd walked their path, and I really honored their journey. And so when I shared that, they could say, great, well, let me ask you some questions. Yeah. Let me help you navigate
the power of the good question.
Yeah, and they've got the roadmap, they've got the compass, they've got the light, they've got the, like, food on your adventure that you forgot to pack. Snacks. And they're like, sit down, have a snack, let me help you, let's make this easier.
Yeah, and that just makes everything feel lighter, which creates the space, because you're supported to be able to actually allow the things to bubble up.
Yeah, and then you get to really express what you're good at, what's your talent, and then you leave the other stuff to people that's their talent, so you've got more space to enjoy your friendships and your family and focus your energy into what you're really here for.
Wow. Great. Great. So many amazing insights. I feel like actually, we've come to a really beautiful conclusion there, a really beautiful space. We've talked about having a support network and creating space. You know, where can people find you? That would be the next question. I want to run away and go and read your book now and go and get inspired by lots of other inspiring people. But where can people find you? Where's the best place?
Great question. Well, you can find me in Ibiza if you want to come in person.
That'd be
amazing. Let's go for a tea. Mm-hmm. Other when I'm here, you can find me on my website, which is www.louisecameronedlund.com. I also have an Instagram, which is Louise Cameron Edlund. And I also have a YouTube channel. You can find me on YouTube again, Louise Cameron Edlund.
Great. Okay.
Drop me a message and share with me your story and your insights and takeaways from today.
Well, I've already got a takeaway from today, which is...
Your body is the vessel for all of your dreams to be lived through.
Yes. And like I said, I'll put everything in the footnotes and I look forward to catching up with you again very soon.
Yes, amazing. We're so happy and honored and blessed to be here. And thank you to you for creating this platform for us to be here. So I'm really in gratitude and in awe to be here in your presence.
Likewise. Mm-hmm. See you soon.